Hitler's War by David Irving. The Other Side of Hitler. While the Nazi screw was slowly turned on Czechoslovakia during the summer of 1938, Hitler stayed at the Berghof and followed the lazy routine of a country gentleman surrounded by his personal friends and their womenfolk. He rose at 10, read the papers, strolled, watched a movie of his choice, and retired between 10 and midnight. Once he stayed up until 3:15 a.m. to hear the result of the boxing match in the USA between Max Schmeling and the Negro Joe Louis. But his champion was defeated, and for days afterward his adjutants grinned as they handed him the dutifully translated telegrams sent by the U.S. citizens to the Führer. Quote, "Herr Adolf Hitler, Berlin, Germany," cabled one correspondent from Colorado. "How do you feel after tonight's defeat of Nazi number one pugilist, defeated by Afro-American?" unquote. And another, "Our sympathies on the disgraceful showing Herr Max made tonight, just about as long as you would last if we tied into Germany," unquote. Hitler's military advisors went on routine summer furloughs. Jodl and Schmutt took 5 weeks until the end of July. Keitel then went off until mid-August. Late in June 1938, a new naval adjutant arrived, a dour Frisian commander, Alvin Broder Albrecht. Puttkamer returned to the destroyers. The elegant Luftwaffe adjutant Nicholas von Bello was still there, as was the new army adjutant, the brash and jocular Gerhard Engel. Himmler had also provided Hitler with a young, good-looking SS Obersturmführer as aide-de-camp, Max Wunsche. Wunsch's diary affords us a vivid impression of the dictator's life and daily ordinances, as well as proving the almost complete absence from the Berghof of Gauleiters and other Nazi Party dignitaries. Once the SA chief of staff Victor Lutze gate-crashed the Berghof. Hitler afterward ordered his sentries to refuse access to anybody who tried to see him without appointment. The Berghof was his private residence, and several times during the coming crises, Bormann or Lammers would issue notices to that effect. Here, their Führer could hobnob in peace with his court photographer, Heinrich Hoffmann, or with the various ladies who currently found his favor. The Wunsche diary records young architect Albert Speer as a frequent visitor and telephoning ingratiatingly to report the birth of a daughter. And once it shows Hitler commanding Bormann to purchase a private car, as he desired to undertake a special motor journey somewhere, quote-unquote, incognito. Hitler's contempt for lawyers was notorious. In 1935, he had learned that the Supreme Court had nullified one old lady's testament because she had written it on headed notepaper. Hitler sent for Franz Gertner and drafted a special law reversing the absurd ruling. But when he had come to write his own testament in May 1938, he wrote it out in full, in longhand, nonetheless. This did not prevent post-war lawyers from voiding it all the same on government instructions. He showed what he thought of lawyers in one August 1942 directive, reported by Lammers to Gertner. Quote, "In many cases," Hitler had ruled, "it will undoubtedly be necessary to determine whether there were sexual relations between two people or not. If this much is known, however, it is wholly superfluous to probe for closer particulars as to how and where such sexual intercourse took place. The cross-examination of women in particular should cease," unquote. Lammers continued, quote, "Every time that cross-examining police officials or judges keep probing for details as to the how and where of the sexual intercourse, the Führer has gained the very clear impression that this is done for the same reasons that the same intimate questions are asked in the confessional box," unquote. Saying they're perverts. Max Wunsch's diary shows some of the other matters exercising Hitler's mind in the summer of 1938. On June 17th, quote, "Führer orders the pedestal of the Strauss bust changed," unquote. On July 7th, quote, "The Führer commands that the sockets of flagpoles required more than once are to be made permanent," unquote. 5 days later, quote, "On the drive up to the Berghof, a letter was passed to the Führer. In this, a man complains that he has still received no reply to a letter sent 2 years ago, Buller's Chancellery. The Führer is very annoyed and orders that every matter addressed to him is to be seen to as a matter of urgency, unquote. On the 14th, Hitler is found, quote, deliberating whether it might not be possible to manufacture all cigarettes without nicotine content, unquote. A few days later, he, quote, commands that no more smoking is to be permitted at the Berghof, unquote. This nitpicking extended to road safety. Quote, 4:45 p.m., the Führer confiscates the driving license of SS Gruppenführer Fritz Weitzel's chauffeur for 6 months and details the Reichsführer to proceed strictly against traffic offenders, unquote. The Wunsche diary also records small, unpublicized acts of humanity. Quote, the Führer will act as a godfather to the triplets of Frau Feil of Kirchensturm. A perambulator is on order in Munich, and 300 marks have been sent to the mother. Doctor's bills will be taken care of, unquote. On July 21st, Wunsche recorded, quote, lunch at the Osteria. The Führer commands that the woman who passed the letter to him during the journey from the Obersalzberg is to be given help. SS Colonel Hans Rottenhuber is given 300 marks for this purpose, unquote. This was the quote-unquote popular dictator, friend of the arts, benefactor of the impoverished, defender of the innocent, persecutor of the delinquent. In an early cabinet meeting on June 8, 1933, he had come out against the death penalty for economic sabotage, arguing, quote, I am against using the death sentence because it is irreversible. The death sentence should be reserved for only the gravest crimes, particularly those of a political nature, unquote. By June 1938, however, his compunctions were fewer. Quote, the Führer signs the new law providing the death sentence for highway robbery, unquote. And precisely 1 week later, the Führer countersigns the death sentence passed on the highway robber Grotze, unquote. He also interfered blatantly in the judicial process. Quote, the Führer, noted Wunsche, commands that Salzberger, the woman killer, is to be sentenced as rapidly as possible. Justice Minister Gertner is informed of this, unquote. Every member of Hitler's staff wishing to marry had to secure his permission first, from the most august field marshal to the humblest corporal. He took a personal interest in the prospective wives, requiring to see their photographs and frequently guffawing over the oddities of the match proposed. When, in August 1936, Hitler's chauffeur Kempe proposed to marry one Rosel Bubestinger, Schaub at first wrote to the SS authorities asking for rapid clearance, until her ancestry was found to be askew. Then Schaub telephoned them instructions not to hurry the clearance. Quote, but on the contrary, to protract it, to stop them marrying. This is the explicit instruction of a senior person, unquote, he added in a clear reference to Hitler. Hitler himself declined to marry. He had proclaimed it the duty of every German family to produce 4 children, but he had cynical reasons for remaining single. He had the female vote to consider. He was wedded to Germany, he liked to say. In the 20s, he had picked up women casually for an evening's amusement. Emil Moraes, his driver, once told Hitler's secretaries that he used to drive him to Berlin and quote-unquote organized girls for him. The first romance to have a permanently disturbing effect on him was with his step-niece, Gailey Robel, the daughter of his half-sister Angela. Gailey's tragic death in a locked room of Hitler's Munich flat would mark the turning point in his career, a moment when he would brace himself for the future, casting off all fleshly pleasures in the most literal sense. His physician, Karl Brandt, would write warmly of the moral comfort and support that this young girl gave to Hitler in his years of struggle. Quote, I remember the emotion with which Hitler spoke of her in earlier years. It was akin to the worship of a Madonna, unquote. Gailey had the cheerful resolution that Hitler valued in a woman, but she was jealous of other girls. In 1930, she cajoled him to take her to the Oktoberfest in Munich. While Hitler tucked into roast chicken and beer, she saw Heinrich Hoffmann arrive with a comely fair-haired girl in tow, whom he laughingly introduced to all and sundry as, quote-unquote, my niece. Gailey saw this as a jibe at her. She next saw the girl in a photograph beaming at her from Hoffman's studio window in Munich's Amalienstrasse when the Schaubs went there in May 1931 to have their wedding photos taken. The girl was Eva Braun, aged 21, one of Hoffman's more decorative assistants. In later months, Eva took to slipping billet-doux into the unsuspecting Hitler's pockets. On one occasion, Gailey found the message first. In September 1931, Gailey's tortured affair with Hitler ended with her suicide. She shot herself through the heart with Hitler's own 6.35mm Walther pistol. The emotional damage that he suffered was never repaired. He ordered her room locked and left as it was, with her carnival costume, her books, her white furniture, and other property scattered about it as on the day she died. In his May 1938 testament, he ordained, quote, "The contents of the room in my Munich home, where my niece Gailey Robel used to live, are to be handed to my sister Angela," unquote, Gailey's mother. A few days after Gailey's death, Hitler found another note from Eva in his pocket, expressing her sympathy. Eva Braun had little of Gailey's character. Quote, "The greater man, the greater the man," Hitler had defined in 1934, the more insignificant should be his woman, unquote. The simple Eva fitted the bill exactly. She was a former convent schoolgirl, but gained in self-assurance and charm as she grew older. At first, Hitler had taken only to inviting her to tea in his Munich apartment, and she had to resort to great feminine cunning to win him. She faked her own May 1935 diary, threatening suicide, and left it lying around for him to find. She was infuriated by rumors that one of German society's most notable beauties, Baroness Sigrid Laffert, was a regular house guest at the Berghof. Eva swallowed a dose, but not an overdose, of sleeping tablets and was, quote, "rushed to the hospital," unquote. Hitler hurried to Munich, aghast at the mere threat of a second suicide scandal around his name. Her quote-unquote diary was shown to him. Upon her discharge from the hospital, the artful girl was powdered a sickly hue and displayed to him while her women friends cackled upstairs. Thus she won her Adolf. In 1936, she attended the Nuremberg rally. At the Kaiserhof Hotel, Frau Angela Robel, Gailey's sorrowing mother, met her face to face. The indignant mother marshaled half the ladies in the hotel in her support, while the rest sided with Eva. It was open war until Hitler intervened and told his half-sister to leave Nuremberg and vacate the Berghof, where she had kept house for him forthwith. Eva Braun moved into her own permanent apartment at the Berghof, but the villa now became her gilded cage, too. When official guests came, she withdrew to her attic rooms and immersed herself in old movie magazines. She knew that Hitler would never present her in the public as his wife. Over the years, Eva and Adolf exchanged many hundreds of handwritten letters. They filled a trunk, which was looted in 1945 in August by an officer of the American CIC. And there's a asterisk here, so see page 36. The Dana Press Agency announced on November 22, 1945, quote, "A torn field gray tunic and a tattered pair of black pants, the uniform that Hitler was wearing at the moment of the assassination attempt of July 20, 1944, were among Eva Braun's private effects. Several boxes, photo albums, extracts of letters she had written to Hitler, are now in military custody," unquote. The information came from Eisenhower's G2 Major General Edwin L. Siebert. The uniform was ceremonially burned by the Americans in 1948. And that's the whole asterisk. And over the years, Hitler remained faithful to her. Over the last decade of his life, his natural libido was somewhat diminished anyway. His medical records display only half the usual secretion of testis hormone in his blood serum, comparable to that of a busy executive or of a man serving a long prison sentence. His staff was aware of Eva's existence, but kept the secret well. Emmy Goering was never introduced to her. The staff referred to her as E.B., addressed her as Madam, and kissed her hand. Hitler would call her Patscherl, P-A-T-S-C-H-E-R-L. She referred to him as Chief. He continued to pay her monthly wages to the Hoffman Studios until the end of their lives. There was clearly an empathy between them, of an intensity not really documented except by their chosen manner of departure from it, the Suicide Pact in 1945. She remained his anonymous shadow to the end. The only other woman whose company he valued was Gertie Troost, the young widow of the architect Professor Ludwig Troost. He took her under his wing, appointed her a professor, and consulted her on color schemes for the fine new buildings rising in Germany. He had first met her husband at Frau Bruckmann's salon in 1928, and that same day he told the architect, quote, "When I come to power, you will be my architect. I have great plans in mind, and I believe you are the only one who can carry them out for me," unquote. Troost did not, however, live long. As Hitler gave the obligatory three taps to the foundation stone for the House of Art, which still stands in modern Munich, the shaft of the silver-headed hammer broke, an omen of ill fortune of the highest degree, as the local architect Schiedermeier tactlessly whispered to the Führer in his dialect, quote, "Das bedeutet Unglück," unquote. Obviously, I can't replicate the dialect. Hitler himself had sketched the rough outlines for the House of Art using the back of an osteria menu. One day in 1931, a gallery of stern Grecian lines, which even today is mocked as Munich's quote-unquote Athens station, the gallery opened in 1936 and by 1938 was recognized by the party as a stable Nazi-conservative breakwater in the running tide of decadent and Jewish art. Hitler treasured in his flat a picture book of the Palace of Knossos in Crete, and this influenced his architectural tastes. He sketched in pen and ink hundreds of monuments, memorials, arches, bridges, and temple-like structures with a remarkably good eye for proportion and perspective, though showing a propensity for over-rich designs like those of Gottfried Semper, who had erected many of Vienna's 19th-century buildings. It was Troost who influenced Hitler toward more neoclassical designs. The soaring shafts of granite and marble and the squat oblong buildings that were to characterize the 12 years of Nazi rule. Troost's place as Hitler's chief architect was filled by Albert Speer, who had providently built himself a studio villa higher up the Obersalzberg. Speer wrote in a memorandum on August 31, 1938, quote, "Only a few people know the scale of the Führer's plans for the reshaping of Berlin, Nuremberg, Munich, and Hamburg. These four cities are to get over the next 10 years buildings quite capable of swallowing a major part of the building trade's capacity, whereas our present stone quarrying capacity already falls far short of these buildings' requirements," unquote. Speer pointed out that there were not enough architects familiar with Hitler's style to go around. Quote, "By imparting basic design ideas, and by frequent personal intervention, and by innumerable personal improvements, the Führer has created a new artistic school that has without doubt the elements of a viable and general architectural line. At present, only a few architects are spreading the Führer's design ideas, architects who know what matters to him through their close contacts with the Führer," unquote. From 1937 on, the Elbe Bridge at Hamburg particularly interested Hitler. On March 29, 1938, Tott recorded in his diary, quote, "discussion with the Führer on the Hamburg suspension bridge," unquote. Hitler also planned a huge Congress Hall, a building so vast that a giant image of the speaker would have to be thrown up by television techniques onto a screen above his podium. Until the last days of his life, this would-be architect would sketch buildings and facades, while his faithful Speer made scale models from the sketches, and finally the buildings themselves. Hitler wanted the monuments of the Nazi resistance to last millennia. On December 17, 1938, when Tott put to him Professor Wilhelm Thorick's plans for a gigantic monument to labor, this became very clear. Quote, "The Führer," Tott recorded, "expressed reservations about using Untersberg's stone. The Fuhrer recommended us to consider whether a reddish granite or something similar of absolute permanence should not be used, so that this gigantic monument will still be standing in 1,000 years in all its nobility, despite atmospheric erosion, unquote. Driving up and down Germany, Hitler saw his dreams come true. He liked to see the faces and the hands of German construction workers. Once Wiedemann murmured to him in 1935, quote, "You still have the people with you. The question is, how much longer?" Unquote. Hitler indignantly replied, quote, "They're behind me more than ever. Not still. Come for a drive with me. Munich, Stuttgart, Wiesbaden. Then you'll see just how enthusiastic the people are." Unquote. He could not, however, take criticism. In early 1939, Wiedemann wrote a short sketch of the small talk at Hitler's table. Quote, "All argument, however reasoned, was virtually impossible. The Führer used to tell anecdotes of the World War, and of his own childhood and youth experiences, and he revealed a lot of whatever he happened to be mulling over at the time. So those lunching with him before a big speech had a pretty fair idea of what he was going to say. In earlier years, I was often shocked at his unbridled remarks about the Jews, the church, and the bourgeoisie, the civil service, and monarchists. Later on, it left me stone cold, as it was always the same thing." Unquote. And end chapter.